Praise God. If you have your Bible with you this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. As I was praying yesterday, I was seeking the Lord because I was telling the 9 o'clock guys this morning that for some reason, the number 52 has always been a special number for me, and I've never known why. Wow. Yeah, like Pastor Michael said, it's like I believe this year for me is going to be a marked year. Wow. 52, for some reason, always had a resonance. Even when I was a child, there was something about the number 52 that felt like such a fulfillment, such a, like I don't know what it was. I used to ride the number 52 bus that went to Ladbroke Grove, Mal. Probably when you were a kid, you were bunking school as well. And yeah, we know what sort you are. Yeah, you were. And and I don't know, it's just one of those things that, like, it just kind of stuck around. So as I was praying this morning, I was just seeking God, and I said, Lord, I would like a special word for your people today. I want to impart something special, something that will help to crown the lives of your people. So I pray that that's what we're going to get into. And as I was praying, I felt the Lord speak to me concerning the things, the words that have marked my life. You know, we have the Logos Word of God. That's the entire Word of God, the Word of God in its entirety. That's the macro word. It's the all-encompassing, all-whole thing. Genesis to Revelation is good to study the macro Word of God, get a picture of who God is, etc. But then there's the micro Word of God. There's the rhema word. It's the thing that slots into your life, that changes your life, suddenly enhances your life. You're a better person than you were before because of some, like, micro scripture that God gave you. And I was saying, you know, that one of the things that has that I've never understood is that there's some churches that you can go to where the pastor will encourage his people, now you have to read your 4 chapters a day. And it's like, goodness me, 4 chapters a day? Like, what are you going to get out of that? And then there's another guy with his leaders. He said, my team of disciples, they have to read their 10 chapters a day. And I'm thinking, dude, like, what? You know, one verse sometimes is enough. And it was from those micro verses. Those micro verses were the things that changed my life. The rhema word of God, the living, active, now word, that thing that just slots into you. Have you ever upgraded your computer and you buy, like, a chip and you slot the chip in, and then suddenly it's faster again? You can do more with it. It's more empowering, more enabling. And that's the same with the rhema word of God. When the rhema word enters your life, it slots in and it's like, wow, this is absolutely wonderful. And so I want to share one of those rhema words with you that I pray will be a blessing to you in the way that it's been a blessing to me. Amen. There's certain scriptures. Have you found that in your life? There's certain scriptures God gives you and it's like, wow, this thing is like jet fuel. It's like it jumps out. Anyone ever, you've had the word of God jump out at you and it's like, boom. Well, this is what it feels like to me for this word. So we'll get into it now. Colossians chapter 3. And it's only half of one verse of scripture, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. And it says this. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Now, I was raised in the King James. And the Bible says in that verse, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. And there's something about that. When that word entered my life, I thought, well, how does the word of Christ dwell in you richly? What's the process? Because if you don't understand the process of the thing, how many of you know God's all about process? It's quite remarkable. All the way through scripture, he's all about process. To the extent, you know, Rachel, follow this in the genealogy of Christ. Now, we know how important genealogy is, right? In the genealogy of Christ, Rachel was the destiny wife of Jacob, which is why Jacob counted and blessed Joseph as his firstborn, because she was the destiny woman. As for Leah, she was the ripoff. But Jesus Christ was born through Leah. So Leah was the process woman. Let's get the supplanter out of you. Let's get the con man, the rip-off merchant out of you so that you can become Israel. And in that process then, part of the process was his uncle ripping him off and giving him the cockeyed one. The Bible says that's literally what it says. She was weak of eyes, cockeyed. And you know, he marries her by trickery, by cunning. But yet Jesus, the destiny line, Judah, came forth from Leah. So that's how much process-oriented God is. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, there's a process for you. To change you into the destiny person that God has called you to be. So there's a destiny on the inside of us that God has to put us through a process through to reach the end of that destiny, which is, as my old pastor used to say, the new man, the new creation, the expression of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Praise God. So it's so important. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, stick with the process. Yeah, you know, that wife that God gave you, she's part of the process. Suck it up, sunshine. Hallelujah. Yeah, that boss. You know that boss you just can't shake off, that devil from hell, part of the process, part of the process. God said to me one time, I was crying. I've learned not to cry and whinge to God anymore. It's pointless, absolutely pointless. And I was saying to the Lord, oh, Lord, this, that, and the other. You know, it's a hard and such a struggle and blah, blah, blah. And you know what God said? He said, don't worry, son. It's the squeezing of the olive that produces the oil. Oh, thanks for that. Is there anyone else up there that I can speak to? You ever get one of those? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you see, because God's not into sympathy. He's not going to like, oh, poor you. No, grow up, that we may grow up in him, that we may grow up to the mature man, etc., 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 right? So anyway, I was praying about this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I was thinking about the process. And I said, Lord, help me to convey this. This is what God showed me. In that verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell. That word dwell is the Greek word meno. That's how we would spell it, M-I-N-O. Obviously, in the Greek, you wouldn't spell it that way. Now, if you turn to the 14th chapter of John and the second verse, John 14, verse 2. Look at this. You know this scripture? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And for some reason, we in the body of Christ have settled that those many mansions are, you know, oh, I'm enduring right now in the here and now. I'm walking through the heat and the mud and the sludge and the rain and the storm and the desert. Do you remember that? There was a whole bunch of Christian songs that were all about the desert and the storm and the flood and poverty and goodness knows what else. And I was thinking, Lord, is this all there is in Christianity? What about the joy and the righteousness and the glory and the crowning and the adoration? And then suddenly songwriters started to come up with stuff that was actually proper biblical for the new creation. You have no rival. You have no equal. Things that will come out and strengthen your spirit instead of like through the mud and the flood and the rain and the I mean, you come out feeling soaking wet coming out of church. Horrible. And this was one of those scriptures. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. In fact, how many of you have got a Bible that says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions? Mansions, right. And it was taught to us like this. In the sweet by and by, when you get to heaven, On earth, you're going to tread through the sludge and the mud and the rain. And your boss is going to throw rocks at you. And people are going to hate you. And your wife's going to make sure your dinner's cold when you get, because she's your worst enemy. You know, all that kind of stuff. But don't worry. In the sweet by and by, the angels right now are in heaven with hammers and nails. And they're hammering your mansion together like some sort of B&Q shed. I mean, like all sorts of nonsensical nonsense like that. And then I read that word mansions, and I saw it's the same Greek word meno. If you've got a study Bible there might be a little number beside it that says meno, which means dwelling places. And somehow the Holy Spirit put those two scriptures together on the inside of me. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. In my Father's house are many, many dwelling places. Well, here's a revelation for you. We are the Father's house. Amen. Amen. Christ in you. It's not I who do the works, but the Father who dwells in me. So the Father, the Bible calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Father is on the inside of us, changing us from the inside out. So where are these minos, where are these dwelling places being built? They're being built on the inside of us, that holy habitation. Let the word of Christ mino in you, let it dwell in you richly. And I realized, you know, there's a process that we go through where all the old nature, all the hurt, all the unforgiveness, all the stuff that we've been through in life that's just so awful and so, you know, all those memories and people who have hurt us and disdained us and all sorts of stuff that we have to effectively clear house. We have to turn our insides into a dwelling place for the Lord to dwell. We have to clean out all the old junk, all the old ways of thinking. I don't know how long it took before the new way of thinking really slotted into my life. Wow. I mean, I got saved in 1984. I was still planning bank raids when we had our 12th wedding anniversary in Palermo, Sicily, when we walked into the bank. And you know, Sicily, man, dude, they've got security in their banks. I mean, they really have. It's like one person in, one person out, that kind of place. And I'm still thinking, gosh, it's so easy to knock this place off. I'd have a JCB come in the side, because all their security was at the front, and it was a corner building, and they had a big roller. Anyway, that's old nature now. Praise God. But how long does it take for the old way of thinking to come out of us and for the new way of thinking to suddenly take root and dwell in us? And that's the process of the word of Christ, dwelling in us richly. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we act. My wife, you know, thank God, you know, you can't hang around her long before she's working on your character. And everyone who has encountered my missus says, amen. Amen. I can say that. It's my birthday today, so I can say that. But, you know, we were talking in the car on the way back about, you know, she was talking about anger, because I've always been like kind of that's been my worst fault is anger. And, you know, on the road, you know, that scripture talks about Jehu, the son of Nimshi. Behold, he drives like a madman. I thought, okay, God, I get it. But she was saying to me in the car on the way back from the all night, she said, like, Paolo, you know, like, why do you get angry on the road? And I'm saying, I'm not. I'm just commenting on other drivers. So I'm in the car this morning on the way to church, and suddenly there's no one else in the car except me, and here I am commenting away, you know. I thought, oh, Lord, that's what she means. Okay, I get it, I get it. I'm going to move on, I'm going to change. But you see, it's that character work that God uses to dig out the old nature so that the word of Christ can dwell in you richly. Why is it important for the word of Christ to dwell in us? What is it about the word of Christ that's so important to God for it to find a dwelling place on the inside of us? The answer is it changes us. And not only does it change us, but then we become a feeding center of the word of Christ that changes others so that the people around us are changed. It's like, wow, thank you for saying, you know, yes to Jesus. Thank you for allowing him to work on your character, because now I'm feeding from the renewed work on the inside of you that is now God is encouraging me. I see your life and I want to run the same race. I want to be blessed. I want to be saved. I want to be healed. I want to be prosperous. I want to be an ambassador of Christ Jesus, because I can see what God's done in you and I want the same thing for me. And it's that yes that God wants to resonate through mankind. That's a good place to clap for the Lord. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you see, there's a process there. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. And then he says, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. In other words, as you give Christ that dwelling place for his word to take root on the inside of you, life becomes an internal party. That's what he's talking about right there. Singing and making one another happy. Thankfulness in our hearts to God. Oh, Lord, I am very, very grateful for all you have done for me. Oh, Lord, I am very, very grateful. And I say, thank you, my Lord. It's addictive, isn't it? Suddenly, like, eyes are closed, hands are raised. People, you know, we could go on. The spirit of Lawrence Tete could come upon me and we'd be singing all day long. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making merriment in our hearts to the Lord. Why? We've carved out that dwelling place. We've carved out that dwelling place. We've allowed the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. And this is how the process started for me. This is what God brought me back to this morning as I was meditating on this word. I remember the times when I was sat in my little bedsit in the west of Ireland, in Galway town, where the rain goes sideways. It doesn't come down on you, it goes sideways. And I remember sitting on the edge of my bed. And back then, you could probably put my entire belongings in a rucksack. Sitting in this bedsit in 1986, 87, in the west of Ireland, in Galway town, sitting on the edge of my bed, and I had a couple of Christian posters and very little else. And I was thanking God, and I was allowing the word of God to dwell in me richly. And you will delight yourself in the Lord, said Isaiah 58. And he shall cause your feet to tread upon the high places of the earth. And suddenly, when my eyes were closed and I was meditating on that word became so big on the inside of me that I never wanted to open my eyes. Because when you open your eyes, bam, reality hits. Do you see what I mean? You can close your eyes in this place and you can dream and you can allow the word of God to dwell in you richly. And then the next thing, you have to open your eyes and go home. And between you being here and home, there's a bus and there's a lot of rain. And that bus is going to drive straight past you and splash you full of water. And suddenly that word has been robbed out of you. Now, why does nothing change? Do you see what I mean? What's happening there is that the word of Christ isn't dwelling in you richly. It's got to be so real and so rich that everything around you is forced to change by what's on the inside of you. That's the power of God's word. God's word is self-fulfilling. There is everything in the seed of the word of God to bring the entirety of that thing to fruition. And so we have to have the heart that God is looking for. Mark chapter 4, parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8, parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13, parable of the sower. The types of soil that we have to have on our in our hearts ready to receive that so that we can grow the word and bring about transformation in our lives is what the Bible says, the good and understanding heart. A good heart is really important to God. An understanding heart is really important to God. A heart that's free of distractions. A heart that's free of offendability. A heart that's free of ignorance. We've got to get these things into it, like turn the soil. The Bible says, break up your fallow ground because it's time to seek the Lord. Make sure that the soil of your heart matches the seed. I gave the illustration this morning. You can take a seed of a certain vegetable from Peru and plant it in UK soil, and that seed won't grow. The seed is perfectly fine, 100% fine, but that seed won't grow because it's the wrong type of soil. And then there's other types of seed, like a potato. Did you know potatoes originally came from Peru? That was a revelation to me because I'm half Irish. I thought Ireland had a monopoly on potatoes. I never ate nothing but spuds like for my first 18 years. When I ate rice the first time, I didn't like it. I thought, dude, this stuff's foreign. Very strange. And you see, do you see the difference? You see, the seed of his word, once it finds that kind of heart, the sky's the limit. You can grow, you can be fruitful, you can multiply, you can fill the earth, you can subdue it. Every promise that God has given us to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers, are all self-contained on the inside of us in that word, once that word is dwelling in us richly in all wisdom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah to Jesus. I mean, this process is not easy. Dude, what I'm sharing with you, it's not easy. I started out, my goodness me, when I first came to Victory Church in Hampstead. Now, we lived in Tottenham. Hood Rat Central. I was telling the guys this morning, one time I'm driving along West Green Road, right? I have my sunroof open, listening to some music, driving along West Green Road. Somebody threw a Wellington boot through the sunroof of my car, and it landed in the passenger seat. A welly in West Green Road, out the middle of nowhere. I still don't know where that Wellington boot came from. And what's the point? Like, you can't even use one welly. What are you going to do with a welly? So I'm sitting there, it's like, oh my gosh. Now, I used to drive from Tottenham to Hampstead. Back then, I used to drive an old, battered up Polo, Volkswagen Polo. I mean, the thing, like you talk about, the gasket was gone on it, so it used to burn like a proper, like 5 liter. Were you the one who sold it to me? You're laughing now. 5 liter can of Castrol GTX. I mean, this thing would burn oil. I went up the A40 flyover one time, the Marylebone Road flyover, and literally London disappeared behind me in my wing mirror. It was gone. And it wasn't the Shekinah glory of God. It was oil burning. That's how bad it was. And I used to drive from Tottenham to Hampstead. Thank God for this man of God right there. He used to encourage us. He said, you know what, on your way home from church, because he was always encouraging us, dream big. Let the dreams be big on the inside of you. And he said, do you remember saying this? Take a detour today. Now, you didn't know I lived in Tottenham. It was a rhema word of God. You were preaching to the whole congregation. But dude, I grabbed that word. He said, take a detour. Because I used to have to drive from Tottenham up through Hampstead Heath. I used to pass the Bishop's Avenue and Winnington Road and all those kind of places. Now, Bishop's Avenue, even if you've got 50 or 60 million pounds to buy a house on Bishop's Avenue, that's not enough. The Residents Association have to clear you to purchase the thing. I mean, this is high cotton. Even Colonel Gaddafi couldn't buy a house on Bishop's Avenue. He tried, and he had to move down. I think it was Arkwright Road or one of those other Stormont Road down Highgate Way that he ended up buying a house. Colonel Gaddafi, with his big oil self, couldn't even buy one. Imagine that. That was the kind of place it was. And my pastor was telling me, on your way home, take a detour. Dream big. You may never have pulled up outside a big house before and dreamt that one day you'll live in it. Now you think for a second what the Bible says. He says, you'll eat the vines from vineyards that you didn't plant. You'll eat the fruit of the land that you didn't sow, and you'll live in houses that you didn't build. So all these things are possible, but there's a process allowing the word of God to dwell in you richly. So I did that on the way home. I took a detour with my mum, and we pulled up outside Bishop's Avenue. The next thing, like, Tango 3. Yeah. I mean, like personal security and all kinds of stuff. You know, people looking out their windows. What is that blue Volkswagen? Listen, yeah. But you know what? I didn't care. There was something took seed on the inside of me. The way I got my first Rolex, well, I love watches. I just love watches. I love giving them away. I love owning them. Or I don't know. I've always had just a love for watches and stocks and shares. I don't know why. It's just since I was a kid. And the way I got my first Rolex, I got a Rolex catalog, and I cut out the Oyster Perpetual, and I stuck the cardboard. I don't care. You're laughing at me now. But look who's laughing now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yeah. Because when these things materialize, that's a conquest. And sometimes, you know, what was that Olympian, Paula Radcliffe? She said something when she won a gold medal once for, I think it was her first gold medal. She said, I had trained and trained and trained, and I had visualized the moment of crossing the finish line first so much that when it happened in reality, it's like I'd already done it. What's that? You see, She allowed that place of victory to dwell on the inside of her so that the extent of what was in her was bigger than what was around her. And these things always follow. The material world will always follow the supernatural world. That's why God puts it in that order. And sometimes, for the sake of the testimony, he will stick you at 0 minus nothing and 100 so that it's absolutely impossible with man. So that you have to believe. What am I going to do? How am I going to achieve these things? With 2 O-levels. Art and French. I've got to live by it. Do you see what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like Peter on the water. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And it's like, help! Jesus. That's the way it is. And there ain't no one else up there. I mean, that's it. It's you and God. You got to get these things by faith. How does it start? Hollow out. Make a dwelling place for the word of God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. The word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'll never forget the way I used to walk up and down Bond Street. You know Bond Street in the West End? I used to walk up and down that road declaring, one day I'm going to shop in this place. One day I'm going to actually walk in the store and the store detective ain't going to follow me around. I know some of you are laughing because you've been there yourselves and you know what it's like. Yeah, but that's where you start. That's where we start. But this thing is a journey. It's from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. God gives you conquest, a little here and a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept. Well done, son, you passed this test. Now take another step. Well done, son, you passed this step. Now take another step. And suddenly, you see, it doesn't look often. It doesn't look like you're making progress if you look back too soon. It's like, oh, Lord, why isn't anything happening in my life? Why isn't anything happening? But then, you know, you keep on focusing. The Bible says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? Because if you look around you, nothing ain't changed. So fix your eyes on him. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. Then suddenly you look back and you think, wow, you know what? I've come far. I've come far. I mean, you know, back then eating extra large at Burger King was an act of faith. Hallelujah. You know the score, bruv. Hey. Wow. But with our God, he can do it. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I just want to thank God for his word. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of allowing your word to dwell in us richly. Thank you for the honor of what it is to serve you. Lord God, may we never take these things lightly. May we never take them for granted, the preciousness of your word. Father, your word says, I delight at your word like one who finds great treasure. May that always be, Father, our outlook. May serving you always be that wonderful privilege. Father, whatever it is that we're called to do, whatever teams we're members of in this house, whatever ministries we hold, Lord God, may we always be privileged. May we always see it as an honor to know you, to love you, and to serve you. We give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.